Lála Páracána Díobh Galair. Hello and welcome to Daily Info's Oxcast. We'll be bringing you all of the events for the coming week, including events involving mermaids, x-rays and St. Patrick's Day.
I'm going to be talking about parks, Aynho Park and Maximo Park. And to start us off, Orla's got a gig for us tonight.
Yes, brilliant big band, the Donut Kings. They've been going for over a decade and they're going to be having a gig at the Jericho Tavern tonight where they're going to be recording their new album. You can go along from 7:30 and it's only £5. And if you listen to any of their music on SoundCloud, just listen to one track and you'll be convinced that it's worth a fiver. They're really good fun. Big band music is so great. I hope you're able to dance along to some of it as well. So that's tonight, Wednesday the 12th. At the Jericho Tavern.
Quite unusual to have a live recording of a gig for an album as well, not kind of filmed, just you're going to have all the sounds of people enjoying themselves. I think it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, you can hear your own applause by the album afterwards, I guess.
Also on tonight, the popular musical based on the 1954 film of the same name, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, is on stage at the New Theatre and it's on until Saturday. It's set in Oregon in 1850 and the show is about Adam, the eldest of seven brothers, and he meets and marries Millie. She then discovers his many uncouth siblings and tries to reform them, and then Adam thinks it would be a good idea to kidnap some other girls to marry his brother. So it's really very silly.
Hilarity ensues.
Exactly. You won't be surprised to hear that everyone does get married in the end and are happily ever after. Sorry for the spoiler. After seeing the original film, American President Eisenhower did say, "If you haven't seen it, you should see it." And according to the reviews of the tour so far, the same goes for the musical. You'll be tapping your toes, you will be shouting out an occasional yee-haw, slapping your thighs, grinning from cheek to cheek. It's a frolicking good fun show, and we've got a review on Daily Info, so if you want to see what our reviewer thought about it, they went along early this week, you can read their thoughts. And all the performance times are also on Daily Info, so go along, enjoy yourself.
Presidential recommendation, can't get much better than that. Over at the Oxford Playhouse this week, Moon on a Rainbow Shore is playing. After a critically acclaimed run in London, it's now come to the Playhouse for a week until Saturday. The play is a vivid portrait of life in a Trinidadian backyard in the immediate post-war period and explains much about Caribbean history. It's a co-production between Talawa Theatre, Britain's primary black-led theatre company, and the National Theatre, so it's really great teams behind it and some really standout actors. It's a show that explores relationships with humour, poignancy and humanity, and it's not to be missed at the Playhouse. All the performance times are on Daily Info. We've also got a review that's just come in. We sent our reviewer last night, so you can read that on Daily Info as well.
There's another kind of type of theatre happening a little bit out of Oxford, also a bit later this week, at Aynho Park, which is a spectacular private house just north of Bicester, which embodies British eccentricity. It's full of curiosities, and it's usually reserved for private hires and things like weddings and that kind of thing. But this weekend, Wilfred Bagshaw's Time Emporium is going to be coming to the House of Wonder, and you can meet Wilfred as part of an immersive theatrical adventure around the house. If you look at the website, it's beautiful, it's so, so stunning. It looks like the kind of place you'd have Vogue photo shoots. Everything is just perfect. So this is a sort of immersive promenade show, and you'll get to explore the characters and curios gathered in the ancestral home and engage with revelry from different eras, and you can either kind of watch and be on the outside, or I think there's a chance to also kind of get involved a bit more with the narrative. Tickets are a bit more expensive than our usual events. It's £45, but that does include a drinks reception, and you will be stepping through history with a very eccentric guide, so it's quite a unique experience, not something that happens every day, and a rare chance to get inside Aynho Park. It starts at 8 p.m. and that's Thursday, Friday and Saturday evenings this week. You can find out more on Daily Info.
That sounds really great. More British eccentricity, and we had a visit the other day from a Lego Beamline, which is a Lego version of the Diamond Light Source in Harwell. And this ties in nicely with Oxfordshire Science Festival that's happening this week. And here is Mark Basham explaining about his machine.
So just to show you guys what's going on, we start off with a laser pen, which is just a single beam of light going into the system. So that's exactly what the synchrotron itself would provide, but as visible light rather than x-rays from the synchrotron. That's hitting a diffraction grating, which gives us a lovely set of spots, a spotty pattern. And that's exactly what happens when light or any sort of wave travels through a periodic array of some description or another. Now in our case it's a series of lines drawn very close together, and basically the light goes through there. And what we're hitting it with is, or hitting it into, a light sensor on the end of an arm. And so that arm can move around and pick up all of the, where all the spots of light are, measure the positions of them. And it's very similar to the real beamline on I-11 at Diamond, where the X-ray beam comes in, hits a sample. So that sample will be a crystal of some description, and then the diffraction pattern will go out into the detectors. And so obviously in diamond we use X-rays, which means that the periodic patterns are only angstroms apart, so that's tenths of a nanometre, which is about the same distance apart as atoms are. So you use the atomic structure as a lattice to create the diffraction from. And so because we can't go into the beam because it's X-rays and it's a bit nasty and we can't see them, we have to use special detectors. And that's what this sort of model shows, is sort of a way of collecting that kind of data. So we collect it onto a bit of card, which is slightly old school. We usually use computers now for collecting the data. But basically, we load up the card and we pick a light. So we're going to choose green light. And then we run the scan. And what's happening is that the pen goes up and down, basically, whenever it goes through a spot of data or a spot of light. And then we get a lovely pattern out. The information on the card basically tells you if you measure the positions of these little peaks, measure the distance between them, and plug it into some pretty straightforward algebra, it's just a substitution, then you can work out exactly what the distance between the lines is. In this case, it's about 10 nanometers, although we can measure down to about 1 micron, 10 microns, we can measure down to 1 micron on this system. If you can do that with a bit of Lego, then diamond we can easily measure down to sort of nanometres.
And the Lego Beamline will be at the Crystals Day on Saturday at the Museum of History and Science. You can play with the Beamline. There's also loads of other hands-on stuff going on. The same event will also be happening at the Abingdon County Hall Museum on Saturday, the 22nd of March. But this is just the start of so many events that are happening with Science Festival. I've picked out a few of my favourite events that are happening. Gravity, there's going to be a screening of at the Phoenix Picture House. Now, probably loads of people have seen this already, but afterwards there's going to be a Q&A with astronomer Chris Lintott, who presents The Sky at Night. That's on Sunday the 16th at 1 p.m. at the Phoenix Picture House.
Is he going to be highlighting the errors or...
I think so,
praising,
yeah,
what they got correct in terms of space exploration?
I hope so. I mean, I think they did get a lot right, but there are a few little flaws in the film, but I think talking about space generally and the science of space and getting people really interested in it. Then there's a talk by Marcus Osotoy, who again you've probably seen on TV on lots of Horizon programs. This is The Secret Mathematicians, and Osotoy will be talking about the deliberate or accidental use of maths in artistic masterpieces like Dali and Messiaen and others, as well as the importance of aesthetics in mathematics, as problem solutions being elegant is often considered as important as their efficiency. So it's really interesting. I'm sure he'll be talking about golden ratios and symmetry and how science and art really aren't that far away. And again, there's a theme of this going through the festival about science and aesthetics and art. But yeah, I think that should be a really great talk on Monday the 17th, 6:30 at the Museum of Natural History on Parkes Road. Then at the Cellar, some advance warning for Thursday the 20th at 7 p.m. Science Slam. It's made up of 10-minute slots of entertainingly delivered new scientific findings for a chance to win the Slam Champ boxing gloves.
And it's amazing just... boxing gloves.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So it's like a poetry slam or a comedy slam, but this one's with science, and I think it should be really, really good.
Like sort of mini TED Talk sort of style, punchy.
Exactly. And... accessible, but entertaining and wittily performed. Yeah, so that's Thursday the 20th at the Cellar at 7 p.m. Then on Tuesday the 18th, there'll be a Twitter Q&A with nuclear fusion research scientists from Cullum. Find out more about that. Also on Tuesday the 18th, Bonn University have a particle physics show, bringing the Higgs boson to life at the Martin Wood Lecture Theatre at the Physics Department. That's at 6:30. And you can also, as part of the festival, even go and visit the Didcot Sewage Works.
So everyone's favourite weekend activity.
Exactly. There is so much going on, though, and loads of it looks really, really interesting. I would definitely check out their website and ours for all of the events that are happening. There's stuff for family and kids, and also if you know a little bit more about science, there's some stuff for you there as well. Brilliant festival that's happening until the 22nd of March.
Huge, all-encompassing beast, isn't it? Mm. It's everywhere.
Across the county as well, so not just in Oxford.
Another festival, sort of similar science, art, experimentation, it's the Audiograft Festival. It returns to Oxford this year. It is the Festival of Contemporary Experimental Music, curated by the Sonic Art Research Unit at Brookes and co-produced with OCM, Oxford Contemporary Music. So lots of really great organisations involved. There are exhibitions at the Ovada Warehouse and O3 Gallery and also the Glass Tank Gallery on Gypsy Lane, which I'm unfamiliar with, but looking forward to discovering more about. And so those will have a brilliant mix of installation art with visuals and sounds coming together to create art. then the events are on from tonight, Wednesday 12th of March, until Sunday. And most of them are taking place at the Arts of the Old Fire Station, but there's also lots of other city centre venues involved. Some of the things I've picked out are, for example, tomorrow there's a sound art pub quiz at the Turf Tavern. There's also a sound and literature book club coming up. There's lots of talks and plenty of mind-bending experimental performances. It's the kind of stuff you read it and it's just words put together and you think this isn't a sentence because it's just so many different strange combinations put together to make sound art. You can find out more on audiograft.co.uk, and if you go along to anything, feel free to write us a review or tweet us, tell us what's happening.
And another festival that's still ongoing, we've got to mention the Women's Festival. We talked about it in last week's podcast, so you can listen to that for details, but there's so many more events that are happening. Check out everything that's going on there.
Now we have Miranda, who's coming in to tell us about the capybara skeleton at the Museum of Natural History this weekend.
Yes, I don't know about you guys, but when I was little, I always wanted to be a paleontologist and fix together bits of skeleton. I also wanted to fix together bits of pot and things that you dig out of the ground and put them together. They're not quite doing it with dinosaurs, but they are doing it with a capybara on the 16th of March at the University Museum of Natural History, Parks Road. And all day, Bethany Palumbo, who's the Conservator of Life Collections, and the evolutionary biologist Ben Garrod are putting together from scratch a capybara skeleton.
And a capybara is?
It's kind of an outsized guinea pig from South America. They are semi-aquatic. They float around like hippos all over the pampas. And they're rather marvellous. They're the biggest rodent around, I think. And they're, you know, the size of a medium-sized dog. And they're quite adorable. So gallop around like little ponies through the plains when they're dry and swim around in them when they're wet. So that's happening all day at the University Museum of Natural History. It opens at 10, shuts at 5, 16th of March. It's recently been redone, the museum, and that looks very nice. Yes. If you want to go and see it, there's lots of light, and they haven't totally revolutionised all the cabinets and so on, so it's still got all the charm that it used to have, but loads more light, and it's all sort of shiny and nice, and there's a cafe.
It's awesome. A cafe. On Saturday, you can celebrate the Hindu Holi Festival, which is also known as the Spring Festival or Festival of Colours. And there are a couple events happening in locations across Oxford. The Asian Cultural Centre on Mansell Way in Cowley is hosting an event from 1 p.m. with dance and music performances, plenty of authentic Indian food, as well as henna and face painting, as well as other stalls.
Is this the festival where they throw powdered paint or coloured flowers?
Yes, so there's sort of like water bombs, powder which is coloured, and then sometimes coloured water bombs. So it's just a big frolicking sort of colourful water fight. The Asian Cultural Centre haven't said whether or not they've actually got all of those materials, but at the Tree Hotel in Iffley, they have got an event from 12 till 3 with live music, again, plenty of amazing food, and they have specifically suggested you come wearing white as you will leave coloured as a rainbow.
Aww.
So they will definitely be having all of the colourful powders. I just hope it's really nice weather for everyone to frolic outside.
Otherwise you get freezing.
Otherwise it's a little bit cold, but it's a really beautiful festival. If you've never been part of one, you've probably seen pictures and always thought, what is this? And strangely enough, you can actually celebrate it in Oxford. It's a Hindu festival, but it's sort of been globalised. That kind of visual will pop up at the end of marathons often. They'll suddenly just start spraying colours everywhere to celebrate. So that's 1 p.m. at Mansell Way at the Asian Cultural Centre, or 12 p.m. till 3 at the Tree Hotel in Iffley to celebrate the Hindu Festival of Colours this weekend.
Well, another chance to get involved in something. Playhouse resident company Shared Experience is producing a modern adaptation of Hans Christian Andersen's tale, The Mermaid, and this is exploring themes of sexual awakening, gender and identity. But at the moment, their work is in development, sort of a draft, but they're going to be putting on a show on Saturday the 15th in a hope of touring the show for 2015. It's an opportunity to meet the cast and have a Q&A and then give them loads of feedback, basically, and affect the development of the production.
It's a story as well that so many people are familiar with, probably because of the Disney film, and it's something that everyone's got different ideas and connotations of, so it's nice to share something like that that is so familiar and sort of cultural to people.
Yeah, exactly, and it is going to be on at the Oxford Museum at the side of the Town Hall on Saturday the 15th, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and it's £9 and £7, and it's going to be really visual, interesting production, apparently, so go along and become part of it.
There's something else you can become part of, which is also on Saturday. Local charity Helen and Douglas House. They often organise lots of fun and creative fundraising events. Their annual star-studded variety show, Childish Things, is coming up on the 24th and 25th of March, which is a fantastic evening, so definitely pen those dates in your diary. But if you want to do your bit for Helen and Douglas House before then, you can enter their charity firewalk, which is taking place on Saturday at the Oxford City Football Club in Marston. So Helen and Douglas House are teaming up with other local charities, Aspire, Seesaw, Sable House and Special Effect. So you can brave burning embers for a conglomerate of good causes. There's going to be entertainment and refreshments, a barbecue and an inspirational talk ahead of the actual walking.
And some fire extinguishers, hopefully.
And hopefully, yeah, maybe some the fire brigade. So it's mind over matter and walking on coal and embers and fire to raise money. Registration opens at 5:45 p.m. on Saturday and there's a £25 deposit so you don't chicken out. And additionally, you have to commit to raising £100 minimum in sponsorship. So start hassling your generous friends now if this is something you think you'd like to test. You can find out more information on any of the involved charities' websites and just make sure you're at the Oxford City Football Club grounds in Marston for 5:45 p.m. on Saturday to walk on fire.
Be brave. We've just heard some great news that the Bacon & Moore exhibition at the Ashmolean has been their most successful exhibition ever. And they've just launched a new one. This one is Cezanne and the Modern, and Hinny went along on Monday.
So Hinny, you went along to the preview for the Cezanne and the Modern exhibition. Tell us a bit more about it.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's a private collection. There's a man called Henry Perlman who in 1945 went out and bought a painting that really pleased him. And he said every time he came home it would give him a lift. And he said he never spent a boring evening after that day. And it just really inspired him to go and find more paintings that made him feel like that. So it's a really intensely personal collection of paintings, principally Cézanne. He got really, really intrigued by Cézanne's paintings, principally Cézanne watercolours, which is really unusual. So it's the most prominent collection of Cézanne watercolours. But there's also Cézanne oils and sculptures and paintings by Impressionist and Post-Impressionist painters. And yeah, it's really personal. There's no Monet. He didn't like Monet, so there's none of that.
Well, I get a lot of airtime in other places, you know.
And there's also a lot of really quirky pieces, like a couple of Gauguin pieces, a relief which was above the door in his house in Tahiti, that was a piece of wood sculpted, and it's got a picture of a prostitute, and then in Tahitian it says room for eating, I think, and then it's really, really odd. It's not immediately what you think you'd buy if you had that much money floating around, but obviously it really tickled him. So he just looked around for things that he really liked, and then he looked after them beautifully. The Cézanne watercolours, these shimmering, beautiful, vibrant, colourful pieces, they're preserved better than any other that you see in most exhibitions, because they were looked after by Henry Perlman first and then by his wife after his death. And then after she died, they were bequeathed to Princeton. Beautiful stuff. So what you'd associate with, normally with Cézanne, there are pieces like that. The oils with the Mont Saint-Victoire in the background, and then in front the little Provençal houses with triangular orange roofs and cypress trees and arid soil and that kind of thing. They're the pictures that you think of when you say Cézanne. But it's also got these lesser-known works, the more private, the watercolour side of his art. And the nice thing is that the exhibition is topped and tailed by two portraits of Perlman himself. The first is a painting which is really joyous. It's him sitting in the foreground, and in the background his two daughters are playing in a boat. This beautiful kind of summery light, and it really is to Perlman's taste, I think. It really links into the other things. And the last piece in the exhibition is a bust by Lipschitz, who was another immigrant artist who ended up in the US. And his studio burnt down, and as a kind of a helping out to Lipschitz after all his work was destroyed, a lot of people came together and they commissioned work and they helped him out. And one of those people was Perlman, so he commissioned a bust at that point. And gorgeous stuff. Go and see it.
And it's on until the 22nd of June.
Yes, and they've done a beautiful job of hanging it. Really, really nice exhibition.
Thank you, Hinny.
Thanks.
You can read Hinny's review of the exhibition online on dailyinfo.co.uk, and we've also got a couple of great reviews of the current exhibitions at Modern Art Oxford. So if you want to have a look what's on there, go ahead, or if not, read it on Daily Info. Monday is a special day, particularly for myself and Orla, as it's St. Patrick's Day!
Yes! There's music all day at O'Neill's in town. There's also going to be a Red Cayley on Sunday at the James Street Tavern on Sunday the 16th. There's going to be a green drinks at the Tull Street Kitchen on Monday. I think that's usually a sustainability meetup, but I'm sure they'd enjoy a little festive hijacking. Yeah, there's loads of events going on, and I'm sure any watering hole would be happy to have you as well to celebrate. If you're interested in Irish events all year round, every Wednesday there are coffee mornings organised by the Oxford Irish Society at the Black Swan on Crown Street, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. There are adult dance classes Tuesdays at the East Oxford Community Centre at 6:15. Then there are Irish folk sessions every Sunday at the Half Moon, and there's Gaelic football training at Horsepath Sports Ground every Thursday. There's a huge Irish community in Oxford, and I'm sure they'll all be out having a great time. Have a great day and drink responsibly.
Let's have happy St. Patrick's Day in Irish again.
Lola Poricana Dave Golair.
Ditto. On to Tuesday, Maximo Park, the indie rock band who were pretty popular in the mid to late noughties, have released their fifth studio album, and they're promoting it with a tour which will be stopping off at the A2 Academy this Tuesday.
We had We Are Scientists last week and Maximo Park this week. It's like it's 2005 all over again.
They have outlived loads of bands that emerged at the same time of them during that sort of renaissance of perfect summer festival type indie rock bands. Their last album kind of passed me by, it may have passed you by, but they're back in a much bigger way with this fifth album. At their gigs, you can expect the classics like Pressure and Our Velocity and the slightly calmer Books from Boxes, as well as lots of their newer songs from the last couple of albums. They've already toured Europe early this year, and then they're going to be off to America in the spring. So don't miss their Oxford gig, because then they're going to be jetting off to other places. You can just bask in their relentless energy and listen to their beautiful emotional lyrics, and do that thing with your hands when you apply some pressure and remove some pressure. Doors open at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, so go back to 2005 with us.
He's such a great frontman as well, and he usually brings along a poetry book and reads a bit to the crowd, and just does like really quirky, weird things, so I think that'll be a really great fun gig. But we have got a competition running at the moment. If you are interested in Peter Gabriel, or in cinema, or both, this is going to be the perfect competition for you. We have got a goodie bag that consists of two tickets to the UPP screening of Back to Front, the Peter Gabriel concert movie. We've also got a So Back to Front 2013 tour programme, So 25th Anniversary Special 3CD Limited Edition, and So Back to Front 2013 tour t-shirt. You can enter that competition by finding all the details on dailyinfo.co.uk.
That's all for this week on the Daily Info Oxcast. You can look on Daily Info to find job adverts, places to live, and you can also buy and sell things through our website.
You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford, or find us on Facebook by searching Daily Info Oxford.